Phoebe climbed the black volcanic stone of Mount Othrys as thunder rolled somewhere beyond the horizon. The mountain still remembered the Titans. Even after centuries beneath Olympian rule, the cliffs held the memory of older voices, older gods, powers born not from law or conquest, but from the first breathing movements of the cosmos itself. The wind tore violently through her copper-red hair, wrapping it around her face like wild flames. Themis was already waiting. She stood still as carved marble, her hands folded, her expression unreadable. The goddess of divine law stood at the edge of the mountain, overlooking the mortal world below. Villages lit by scattered fires, distant temple smoke rising into dusk, tiny human lives unfolding beneath the gaze of immortals who no longer protected them as they once had. Phoebe stopped several paces from her. Neither goddess spoke immediately. The silence between titans was never really empty. It carried epics. Phoebe laughed bitterly. So it's true then. Themis didn't answer. Phoebe had called Themis there to meet because out of all the gods, it was Themis who would understand the sacrifice it took to be an oracular god, given that she was once herself an oracular goddess. That child, Phoebe continued with her voice tightening, that radiant little executioner has killed Python and now claims Delphi as his own. Still, Themis remained motionless. Themis was known for being stolid, unemotional even, but what she could be relied upon was her pragmatism, and even she would see the foolishness of his actions, wouldn't she? Phoebe stepped closer. For 300 years, I have held the sacred seat. 300 years, mortals climbed those mountain paths seeking truth. I taught the Pythia how to descend beneath thought itself, beneath fear, beneath reason, beneath the thin surface of civilized identity. Her eyes began to darken. And now I am commanded to surrender the oracle as though it were some ceremonial trinket to be handed to an Olympian prince. Themis finally lifted her gaze. You were not commanded, she said carefully. You were given a choice. Phoebe's laugh this time was sharp enough to wound stone. A choice, she repeated. You speak now like Zeus. Phoebe's eyes rested on the clouds moving slowly through the air, some of which dissolved or transformed into other shapes. That is what she was being asked to do, transform or dissolve altogether. It wasn't as if there were altars dedicated in her honor like the Olympians required for themselves. There were no festivals in her name, no celebrations of her role as the goddess of radiance, brightness, and prophecy. As the patron of Delphi, it was there that she was honored, and they would take that from her to replace a Titan with an Olympian. And then something flickered in Themis's expression. Not guilt exactly, but something older and wearier. Phoebe saw it immediately and understood. You've already chosen their side. Themis clearly was unmovable, a judge who had already weighed her options and saw that as Titans, they would always carry the losing hand. Her accusation hung in the air. Below them, the earth groaned softly beneath distant tectonic movements, Gaia herself shifting in uneasy sleep. Themis inhaled slowly. I chose survival. No, Phoebe replied. You chose order. Themis had once sat upon the Delphic throne herself before Phoebe inherited it. She, above all others, should understand what was truly being lost, and it was an entire way of touching the divine. Phoebe peered down at the base of the mountain below. Those poor mortals, she thought, until the arrival of Apollo and his impulsive and disrespectful act. The oracle was ruled by chthonic beings, tied to the wisdom of the earth, the wisdom of Gaia herself, a primordial being with a power that was unmatched. As a chthonic being, Gaia and her lineage, including Phoebe, could prophesize about the underworld, about the ancestral powers and the secrets of death and rebirth. What could an Olympian offer in comparison? Where would the wisdom come from? Bibi's wisdom came from the lineage of Gaia herself, the serpentine wisdom. Themis looked toward the horizon where dawn light was beginning to gather. The age is changing. Bibi's jaw tightened. Yes, that is precisely what terrifies me. For ages before Apollo's arrival, Delphi had belonged to older powers. The serpent python had guarded the sacred threshold for centuries, not as a monster, but as the protector, as keeper of primordial wisdom that was too deep for orderly gods to tolerate, and Apollo had slaughtered it. The Olympians called it heroism, but Phoebe called it a conquest. He does not understand what Delphi is, Phoebe said. To him, prophecy is illumination, it's clarity, it's order, it's reason. Her eyes harden, but the earth does not speak in perfect sentences. Thema said nothing because she knew Phoebe was right. Apollo would reshape the oracle into something cleaner, more civilized, more comprehensible to kings and empires. The dangerous depths below would remain beneath the surface, buried and tamed. The age of ecstatic descent would slowly become the age of interpretation. Phoebe walked toward the cliff's edge and looked down into the valleys below where mortals wandered through brief, fragile lives, never realizing how much the gods altered the shape of human consciousness itself. They will lose the old ways, she said softly. Themis closed her eyes, but Phoebe continued. They will still come seeking prophecy, but fewer will descend into mystery. They'll seek certainty instead of transformation, and answers instead of initiation, and perhaps that is kinder, Themis replied. Phoebe turned sharply. Kinder? We're easier to control. The word struck harder than either wished to admit. For beneath Apollo's radiance stood Zeus's new order, hierarchy, civilization, measurement, and structure. The wild primordial powers were being pushed deeper underground and recast as dangerous. Phoebe suddenly felt tired, cosmically tired, like a mountain eroding grain by grain beneath endless centuries. There are no temples for me, she said quietly. No festivals, no hymns sung in my honor. Delphi was the last place the old memory still breathed openly. Themis lowered her gaze because this too was true. The Olympians demanded devotion loudly. Phoebe had been ordered to deliver her seed as a birthday gift to Apollo in front of all the Olympians. In other words, publicly submit to the new ruling order, surrender your power altogether, or join your family in Tartarus. Phoebe could already feel herself fading from the world's imagination. And soon, mortals would remember Apollo's brilliance, but forget the earth from which prophecy first rose. Forget Gaia. Forget Python. Forget the dark womb of the mountain. Forget that wisdom once came through descent rather than conquest. A cold wind swept across Othrys, and finally, Thema spoke. What will you do? Phoebe stood silently for a long time, and then a strange smile crossed her face. Oh, I will give him Delphi. Themis frowned slightly, but not completely. For the first time, uncertainty entered Themis's expression. Phoebe stepped closer, lowering her voice almost to a whisper. Let Apollo bring light. Her eyes gleamed like embers beneath ash. But beneath every polished prophecy, the old earth will remain. The Pythia will descend into a frenzy. She will tremble, speak in riddles no rational mind can fully master. Phoebe's voice became softer. He may claim the oracle, but interpretation, she said. Interpretation will forever belong to mystery. Somewhere far below the mountain, deep beneath Delphi itself, something ancient stirred in the dark, and for the first time that morning, Themis looked afraid. Phoebe emerges from the primordial union of Gaia, the living earth, and Uranus, the vast star-filled sky. Her name means bright, radiant, and pure. She is the sister to Rhea, Thames, Tethys, Thea, Mnemosyne, Cronus, Iapetus, Oceanus, Hyperion, Crius, Coeus, and she would have many half-brothers and sisters, given that Gaia gave birth to many more offspring. While we are most familiar with the stories of the Olympians due to their enduring mythological stories, the Titans, mostly recognized as foundational realities rather than individualized personalities, they contain a collection of strange and compelling myths that belong solely to them. Goddess Phoebe was born when Uranus ruled the cosmos. History offers no scrolls or hymns to clarify the intimate bond, or even lack thereof, between the goddess and her father. We're left to wonder if she viewed him as this legitimate sovereign, or merely as a volatile patriarch. But mythological sources do reveal that Uranus was insecure in his position as ruler of the cosmos. He was so paranoid, in fact, that he imprisoned his own children, the Cyclops and the Hecatoncheirs, within the abysmal depths of Tartarus, deeply fearful that they might overthrow him, and this set a dark precedent for the generational wars to come. Among her fellow Titans, Phoebe was allowed to roam freely about the universe, given that her father didn't fear their power, yet Gaia, along with one of her sons, Cronus, plotted to overthrow Uranus and castrated him with an adamantine sickle. Because the mythological record remains silent regarding Phoebe's involvement in this rebellion against Uranus, her role in his dramatic downfall is shrouded in mystery. In the absence of any tales depicting her participation in this cosmic coup, we're left to assume that she stood apart from the violence, watching from the periphery as the old order was torn asunder. Thereafter, the universe is then divided between the Titans, and Phoebe herself becomes associated with the moon, mystery, prophecy, and even radiance and brightness. It's a common misconception that the reign of the Titans was merely a dark prelude to Olympus. In reality, many ancient traditions remember this era as the Golden Age. Under the stewardship of the Titans, the cosmos, they flourished. They existed in a state of primordial harmony and abundance that far surpassed the turbulent centuries that followed. As the goddess of prophecy, Phoebe stands as a vital link in the sacred lineage of Chthonic oracular deities who governed Delphi. This divine succession began with the primal earth goddess herself, Gaia, before passing it into the hands of Thames, the personification of divine law. Ultimately, the mantle was bestowed upon Phoebe, cementing her role as the guardian of prophecy and the sovereign voice overseeing the world's most influential oracle. In order to understand Phoebe's role, it's important for us to review Aeschylus's Eumenides, which is dated to around 458 BC. This source is the single most important ancient source that connects Phoebe to Delphi. In the opening of the Eumenides, the Pythia, or the Delphic priestess, gives a lineage of prophetic succession at Delphi, and she says the following: "First, in this prayer of mine, I give the place of highest honor among the gods to the first prophetess of earth, Gaia, and after her to Thames, who was second to possess her mother's seat of prophecy. And thirdly, another Titan child of earth took her seat, Phoebe, and she gave it as a birthday gift to Phoebus, Apollo." In both myth and history, the oracle was not left undefended during the Golden Age. It was guarded by the formidable Python. Rather than a mere literal monster, this serpent likely personified something far more profound, that being Earth consciousness and Chthonic wisdom. The Python stood as a living emblem of chaotic primordial forces and the raw, unseen nature of prophecy itself, rooted deep within the soil of the ancient world. To understand the profound shift that occurred when Apollo eventually claimed Delphi, we have to first grasp what it meant for an oracle to be governed by chthonic powers. Derived from the Greek word chthon, meaning earth or underworld, chthonic energy represents far more than simple nature. These deities were the keepers of ancestral power. They were the keepers of death and rebirth, hidden wisdom, and the fertile mysteries of the deep. In this era, prophecy wasn't really a search for rational clarity. It was a process of initiation. Under a cosmic and chthonic deity like Phoebe, the oracle experience was likely defined by a symbolic descent rather than divine illumination. The goal wasn't to receive a clear-cut answer, but to undergo a radical shift in being. From the standpoint of chthonic prophecy, instead of reinforcing civic stability, the oracle destabilized the seeker's identity, forcing a confrontation with unconscious truth. The spiritual tone was one of surrender, terror, and even ecstasy. It mirrored the ancient mystery traditions where the initiate has to experience a symbolic death to achieve a new state of consciousness. Scholars suggest that these older prophetic traditions were intensely ecstatic, rooted in trance states, cave rituals, and direct physical contact with the earth. Even as the Olympian era took hold, Delphi never fully shed this primal skin. The chthonic layer remained visible through the Pythia, who sat perched over the earth's fissures, and in the enduring presence of the Python. As a serpent, the Python is the ultimate chthonic symbol, representing the cyclical transformation and underworld power that Apollo could never truly override. While Apollo brought the light of consciousness, the Oracle of Delphi remained forever anchored in the transformative depths of the earth. The precise duration of Phoebe's stewardship over Delphi remains a mystery of the ancient world. While the timeline is quite obscured, numerous mythological traditions recount the eventual transition of power, detailing the various ways in which Apollo arrived to claim the Oracle as his own divine seat. The lyric poet Pindar, dating to around 518 to 438 BC, references Delphi and Python primarily in celebratory religious poetry. One important passage appears in the Pythian Ode 4, where he refers to Apollo killing the Python. And it says this, "There he slew the monstrous serpent Python." Similarly, Euripides, dating to around 480 to 406 BC, references Python and Delphi in several places, especially in Iphigenia in Taurus, where Apollo is described as slaying Python and taking prophetic authority, and it reads as follows, "Phoebus, when he had slain the earthborn dragon, took possession of the oracle." Hyginus, a first century Roman author and mythographer, preserves myth summaries from earlier Greek traditions. If we refer to his Fabulae 140, he writes that the Python, the dragon, was before on Mount Parnassus giving oracles. Apollo came there and killed him with arrows. And lastly, Apollodorus, a prominent Greek scholar and historian, writes in Bibliotheca, "When Apollo arrived at Delphi, he killed the serpent Python which guarded the oracle there." The erosion of Phoebe's stewardship can be traced to the fallout of the Titanomachy, the decade-long uprising led by Zeus against the Old Order. While Phoebe and her sister Titans didn't take up arms, they were far from impartial. Historical tradition suggests that they remained deeply sympathetic to the cause of their brothers and even their husbands. Despite her lack of active combat, Phoebe didn't escape the post-war restructuring. Her vast spheres of influence were systematically dismantled and redistributed amongst the new Olympian victors. First, there was the lunar shift. Her dominion over the moon, it was largely superseded by the ascent of Selene. And then, the oracular succession. Her role as the voice of prophecy was handed down to her grandson, Apollo, who would become the definitive face of the Delphic Oracle. As this new hierarchy solidified in the Greek imagination, the name of Phoebe began to fade, transforming from a foundational force of the cosmos into a ghost of the mythological past. So what was Phoebe's role during the Gigantomachy? The Gigantomachy erupted as a final violent challenge to the Olympians who sought to purge the cosmos of the rebellious giants once and for all. While Phoebe is absent from the literary accounts of this war, her presence is immortalized in stone on the Pergamon altar. On the altar's southeast frieze, she is depicted alongside her daughter, Asteria, actively engaged in the struggle. Clad in a diadem and a finely creased chiton, Phoebe is shown wielding a massive flaming torch, a striking visual testament that despite her historical silence, she remained a formidable force of ancient power during the Olympians' greatest trial. The goddess Phoebe is the steward of unconcealment. She occupies a singular space in history of the Delphic Oracle, serving as this vital bridge between the primal earth wisdom of Gaia and the rational light of Apollo. As an oracular goddess, she represents a power that is so easily overlooked because it refuses to dominate. She doesn't demand submission. She demands attentiveness. As the third mistress of the Oracle, Phoebe embodies the archetype of clarity without force. Her name, radiating brightness and purity, it defines her role not as a source of loud commandments, but as the medium through which the truth becomes visible. In the ancient world, an oracle wasn't a vending machine for answers. It was a site of Althea, or unconcealment. As the steward of this sacred site, Phoebe's function wasn't to create a future, but to create the conditions in which reality could be seen. Let's keep in mind that Phoebe is the light, but she's not the map. She is the illumination that makes the landscape visible, not the hand that draws the borders. She is also the representation of discipline, of stillness. To hold the seat of Delphi requires a stillness that is so profound that the world could reveal itself without being distorted by the steward's own ego or their own desires. Phoebe represents this active discipline of perception. Modern seekers often approach intuition, looking for comfort or a sign to move forward. Phoebe's oracular archetype offers absolutely no shortcuts. As classical scholar E.R. Dodds observed, ancient encounters with the divine, they were rarely reassuring. They didn't remove uncertainty, but it illuminated its structure. Under Phoebe's stewardship, the oracle was a place of rigorous demand. She poses the ultimate oracular question: can you remain with what you perceive, even when it resists closure? Phoebe forces a suspension of that frantic human urge to resolve ambiguity or to massage a troubling truth into a comfortable lie. Scholars like Joseph Fontenrose emphasizes that Delphic prophecy was famously ambiguous. This was Phoebe's gift. She didn't simplify complexity to make the seeker feel better. She revealed the complexity so that the seeker could act with total awareness. To see through the eyes of Phoebe is to witness the world without the mask of expectations. This form of clarity is as destabilizing as it is orienting. To be granted an oracular vision often means confronting the very patterns and motivations we've worked hardest to ignore. As the steward of Delphi, Phoebe represents the internal capacity to endure this light. She is that pregnant pause between the vision and the decision. Her role suggests that the highest form of prophecy isn't predicting what will happen, but recognizing what is happening. So ultimately, Phoebe's archetype as an oracular goddess demands a shift in spiritual orientation. It demands a shift from control to cultivation, or moving away from the need to manage outcomes. It demands a shift from certainty to accurate perception, or moving toward a relationship with the truth that is quiet, exacting, and profoundly honest. She didn't ask that her initiates act immediately. She asks them to first see clearly. Her presence is found in the silence of the temple, where the truth isn't told, but finally, undeniably, recognized. So what are some recognizable epithets of the goddess Phoebe? Well, her name means bright or radiant, reflecting her connection to the moon and to its light. One of Phoebe's epithets includes Phoebe Selene. This is why Artemis and Selene were sometimes known as Phoebe, while Greek gods Apollo and even Helios are sometimes referred to as Phoebus, which is the masculine version of her name. An additional epithet includes Christostephanos, which means golden crowned. Phoebe's consort is her brother Coeus, the personification of intellect, rational thinking, and the celestial axis or the North Pillar. Her children include the Titanesses Leto and Asteria, and her grandchildren include Artemis, Apollo, and even in some historical sources, Hecate. Her symbols include the crescent moon, a laurel wreath, and the torch. Some potential offerings for this goddess includes anything symbolic of the moon, a laurel wreath, a torch, a candle, clear stones, maybe a silver candle, a water in a bowl that reflects the light. So why would you connect with goddess Phoebe today? Number one is to develop inner vision and intuition. Remember, Phoebe is closely associated with prophecy, radiance, and oracular perception. But unlike later portrayals of prophecy as merely predicting the future, Phoebe's form of wisdom is more initiatory and transformative. It concerns seeing beneath appearances, sensing patterns beneath events that are happening, perceiving what is hidden, and learning to trust subtle knowing. You may want to connect to Phoebe if you feel exhausted by purely rational or surface-level ways of living, and if you crave a deeper relationship with intuition. Her path asks the following: what if wisdom isn't always loud? What if truth first arrives as feeling, a dream, a symbol, or maybe even as a disturbance within the body? So keep in mind that Phoebe teaches receptivity to the unseen. You may want to connect with Phoebe if you want to reclaim Chthonic wisdom. Remember, Phoebe belongs to the older Chthonic current behind Delphi, the earth-based prophetic tradition that was tied to Gaia, Python, dreams, descent, and even liminality. You might want to connect to Phoebe if you are seeking ancestral wisdom, if you want to learn shadow work or dream work, if you want to understand underworld symbolism, ecstatic spirituality, or feminine mystery traditions. Just remember that her energy is not about escaping the darkness. It's about entering it consciously and returning transformed. You may also want to connect to Goddess Phoebe to resist over-intellectualized spirituality. Apollo eventually becomes associated with order, reason, interpretation, structure, and clarity, but Phoebe, she represents an older mode of knowing that precedes complete rational control. You may want to consider connecting with her because you feel that modern spirituality sometimes becomes overly performative or hyper-optimized or detached from mystery. Phoebe reminds people that some truths cannot be mastered analytically. They have to be experienced. They have to be endured, embodied, and listened to slowly. She is the goddess that will invite you back into sacred ambiguity. And you also may want to consider connecting with her to heal your fear of the unknown. Prophetic deities aren't merely fortune tellers. They help you to develop a relationship with uncertainty itself. So Phoebe's wisdom acknowledges cycles, endings, transformation, the impermanence of everything, and even just mystery. So rather than promising control, she teaches you how to remain present in the unknown. And for many people, this can be profoundly healing, especially in our culture today that's obsessed with prediction and productivity and certainty. And so Phoebe will ask you, can you remain open without having the immediate answers? And lastly, you may want to connect with this goddess to learn the act of sacred listening. You have to remember that Phoebe's path isn't a loud path. It requires patience, attentiveness, stillness, contemplative awareness, and most of all, symbolic thinking. Keep in mind that if you are devoted to Phoebe, you're going to cultivate practices like dream journaling or meditation, listening rituals, contemplative writing, and even silence in nature, because her wisdom rarely arrives through acts of force. It has to emerge gradually. Ultimately, you might want to connect with her, not because she's going to offer you easy answers, but because she teaches you how to dwell within the mystery without losing yourself. She's a goddess for people who senses that beneath the surface of ordinary life, something ancient is still speaking quietly through dreams, through symbols, and through the deep intelligence of the soul itself. So in closing today, just remember that Phoebe is not a goddess that most people seek out. She's not someone who is going to promise transformation. She's not going to offer you comfort. But I think she offers something that's far more valuable and stable, and that's clarity. And in a world where so many voices are telling you what to do, what to believe, and what path to follow, I think that this might be the most powerful thing of all. Bright brown Phoebe, third to hold the sacred seat, whose silver light makes the hidden and the holy meet. We call the stillness that uncovers what is true, to see the world's deep structure unveiled by you. Grant us the clarity to stand within the mystery and the wisdom to hear what rises softly from the depths unseen.